Australia's chief scientist, Dr. Alan Finkel, says the link between climate change and the summer of bushfires is clear, and that unless long-term action is taken, the fires will be repeated and continue to worsen. Dr. Finkel will present an address at the National Press Club today titled The Orderly Transition to the Electric Planet, and he joins us now. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning, Sabra.
What role did climate change have in these fires?
Well, climate change, of course, is driven by global warming, and we've seen temperatures in Australia rise up towards nearly 1.5 degrees above the mid-century average from last year. And associated with that, we've also seen the National Forest Fire Index increase since it was begun in 1950, so that the number of fire hazard days is continually increasing. So that's the first pressure on bushfires. But also associated with that warming, you see more growth in winter. So the undergrowth load is heavier. It's a little bit faster because of the increased carbon dioxide, which plants, of course, use as a food. So then ultimately, when the dry conditions of summer arrive, you've got a very large dry fuel load ready to burn.
But climate change?
Well, climate change is driven by that steady rise in global temperatures. And so that is a link between climate change and bushfires. You can't say there's a link between climate change and all events, in particular individual cyclones and individual droughts, but the steady rise in forest fire days in Australia is, in the opinion of people who I respect and speak to, linked to climate change.
You're giving the speech as the climate wars are ramping right up here at Parliament House. What is the circuit breaker for all of this?
Gosh, I would hope that it's an evidence-based, technology-driven circuit breaker. I come at it not from a political perspective, of course. I come at it based on my experience as a scientist and as an engineer, and in particular as the latter, I believe that all problems can be solved. But this is a complex problem, and we have to reduce emissions in the long term. The main point that I will make today in my speech is that the sweet spot for attention is the energy sector. I don't mean energy as in electricity. I mean energy in the petrol we use for vehicles, the natural gas we use for heating up our buildings, as well as the electricity sector itself. They represent nearly three quarters globally of emissions of carbon dioxide. Three quarters of global warming gases, actually. So if we could reduce that down to zero in the long term, that would have a massive positive benefit for us.
Sure, but when you hear some of the politicians denounce climate change science, and they downplay Australia's contribution, saying it's only 1.3% of the world's emissions, we can't make much of a difference. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's a global problem and all players need to contribute. If we took that attitude in other areas of activity in society, such as not using water during days of water restriction, if each person said to themselves, well, no one will notice if I use a bit more water, all of a sudden we'd have a water shortage. Similarly, when Australia has been called upon to contribute to international defence actions, often our contribution has been in percentage terms very small, but very well regarded by the allies with whom we are working.
A zero emissions target by 2020, Australia's yet to nominate that officially. Is that compatible with new coal-fired plants in Australia?
New coal-fired plants would be probably generating electricity with emissions levels not dissimilar to the average emissions of the Australian electricity system today. But that average is going to be going down and down and down. And so you would have that coal fire station operating at a higher level. I think that the attention really should be on low emissions technologies, such as solar and wind, but they need to be supported. In the long term, they will be supported by batteries and pumped hydro and hydrogen that has been stored to regenerate electricity. But that takes a lot of time. So for 10, 20, maybe even 30 years, the most efficient way to bring a lot of zero-emission solar and wind into the system is to support it with natural gas, because natural gas is a much lower emissions technology. Even though it's a fossil fuel, it's much lower than coal, and it's much more flexible in terms of only needing to be used when there's a shortage of solar and wind.
All right, just quickly, zero emissions by 2050. Many nations are moving towards that. Is that what Australia needs? And you believe that hydrogen is part of the solution, and you'll detail all the reasons why at the press club. Is there political will for hydrogen?
Sabra, you certainly will have to ask the elected officials about that. My job is to advise, but my job is to advise based on scientific and technological evidence. It's up to the elected politicians to make the decision of what they will do. The scientific recommendation is that the planet needs to decarbonise, needs to reduce its emissions. In Paris, the accepted position was to achieve zero emissions by the second half of this century, not specifically 2050. Right? Actually decarbonising the whole planet by 2050 would be very, very difficult.
All right. Alan Finkel, thank you very much for joining AM this morning.
Thank you, Zabra.